Hello, everybody. What's happening?
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. So, welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A calls for Inner Circle students only. And I know we got new people on here. Got people on here that's been here for a while. We got new people in the Inner Circle all the time. So, I'm just really excited to be here tonight and to talking to you guys. So if it's your first time, here's what the format is. It's very casual. It's very laid back. I don't mute everybody's line unless, you know, I hear babies crying, dogs barking, you know, loud music or anything like that. So I try to keep it casual and keep all the lines open. Feel free to ask any question you want, anything to do with real estate or what you're working on or what I'm working on or anything, and I'll be here absolutely as long as it takes. Sometimes we're on here 20 minutes. Sometimes we're on here 2 hours. So it just really depends. So be respectful and ask, maybe one, maybe two questions at the most at a time and give somebody else a shot. If nobody jumps in, feel free to ask another one. So who would like to go first tonight? Going to be a short call tonight. Anybody have any questions? Did you guys catch my webinar last week about the HUD deal we closed back to back? Is anybody on here?
Yes, I caught your HUD. This is Doreen.
Hey. Good. I know we got people on here because I get a count of how many people are on here whenever I log on. So I know that you guys are on here. So anybody have a question?
Yeah, Larry, I've got one.
Go ahead.
How many days do you usually ask for it to close?
30.
30? Okay.
30 days. That's kind of typical, yeah. You don't find that they'll give you a hard time if you ask for 30.
Okay.
And that could be for HUD or for MLS or anything.
All right. Do you ever ask for an extension?
I do. Sometimes we ask for an extension with HUD. Sometimes we ask for an extension with MLS. And with the sellers, they're kind of flexible. They just want to get their house sold.
All right. And also, I'm interested in buying just mobile homes and parks that you're talking about in Filthy Riches. And do you ever do any repairs on those when you buy them?
Typically, no. No, so but, you know, there's always exceptions to every rule. I mean, like, you know, I've sold houses, you know, sold one a while back. I had to put a water heater in before they could move in, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You ever wholesale them?
Mobile homes?
Yeah.
You know, it's difficult to wholesale a mobile home, but it can be done. It can be done. You just want to keep the price low enough to where somebody can pay cash for it so they don't have to go get money.
Carolyn and Joseph Shaw.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. My pleasure. Who else has a question?
I do. This is Anita.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. Good, good. Thank you. We're busy here.
Good.
We're searching. A question arose here between my sister and myself. We don't hear you mentioning condos. Is there a reason for that?
Well, I don't mention condos because I don't buy very many condos for several reasons. Number one, you limit the amount of people you could sell to, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You limit the number of people you could sell to because, okay, because you can't sell them to an investor typically because of the HOA fees, the homeowners association fee, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They cut into the cash flow, so investors, unless they're like turnkey cash flow investors from out of state, they don't really buy them, all right? And the other reason is, in order to get really good deals, you have to go outside of the big cities. And there's not very many condos and townhouses in the small towns.
Really? Well, I was fairly in a small town. That's all we have in Connecticut, really.
Uh-huh.
We've got a few big cities, but that, you know, Hartford is not that big, but it is the capital. But outside of that are all small towns.
Uh-huh.
And we have several condos in small towns here.
Uh-huh. Well,
so,
I get, let me rephrase that. There's not near as many of them as there are single-family houses. Which means you're just going to have to bid on more of them. But I'm not telling you you can't do it.
Yeah.
I've bought and sold condos. I've bought and sold townhouses. And I've made good money on them. I'm just telling you, it's a little harder to sell, especially to somebody that's going to live in the property, because most people, I'm not saying all, but most people would rather have their own property, their own land, you know, with their own yard, as opposed to living in an apartment-type lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not saying you can't buy them. You know, in your area, in your market, it's a real common thing, and there's a lot of them, and it's desirable, go for it. Just know that you're probably not going to be selling it to, you know, one of your buyers, you know, if you're wholesaling, is not going to be a landlord.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good. Does
that
help?
The condos here are just about the same amount of money as houses.
Maybe.
You know, that's why I found it. Yeah. And sometimes, in a lot of cases, they're more expensive than some houses.
That's crazy. Are you on the coast
near
the coast?
No, we're in the northeast of inland.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So, it's crazy. You buy a house and you've got all that maintenance to do yourself. And at a condo, they do the maintenance.
That's true.
And, and you're paying the same price or even more at the condo.
Yeah, but with the condo, you're paying an HOA fee, which is covering those CAM fees, common area maintenance fees.
True.
Yeah.
But it's cheaper than
some people
doing it yourself.
That lifestyle, especially like retired people, right?
Yeah.
Single people.
Yeah, they don't want to do that work. And it can get expensive.
That's good.
I'm getting to that point. I don't want to mow the lawn.
No,
I don't want to maintain that deck either.
That's why I have a yard service.
Yeah, I do too.
Good for you.
Not going to lie, I do.
That's good. Next year, my son will be doing it, I'm sure. So, anybody else have a question?
Anyway, thank you.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry, this is Dave.
What's up, Dave?
Oh, not a whole lot. How about you?
Just having some fun and making some money.
All right. Sounds good to me. Hey, quick question for you. When you put in your HUD bids and you get your counter offers, do you ever get your offers accepted from what you put in, or do you just kind of go in when you see the counter offer come back, you say, well, that's kind of close enough, and then you adjust your offers?
What we usually do is just adjust our offer. Are you still bidding in Georgia?
Yeah.
So, has Georgia started accepting digital signatures yet?
You know, I haven't. I need to talk to my VA, or I need to log on to Georgia.
Have you talked to your VA recently?
No, not today.
You should log in, and everybody listen to this. Everybody on here listen to this. In the Carolinas, HUD recently changed their bidding process, and they're allowing for digital signatures. So you have to enter in all of the details. They've changed their bid format on the bidding page, and you also have to enter in your closing attorney or title company as well.
Yeah.
Before you even submit the bid, which has changed our, you know, we had a little script that was that would fill in all of the information except for the case number and the bid amount. And because of that little, that change, we missed a day. We got a counter and we were going to take it, and we missed it because we couldn't get all that stuff adjusted to our VA and back and forth, just communication. A communication breakdown. So we lost this really good deal that we got for $17,000, or they said if you bid on bid 17, we'll take it. And then the very next day it was gone.
Oh, dang it.
So we missed that.
So,
and it was a nice
house,
too.
I was wondering if I came, do they ever come, if I came up a little bit, do they just not counter off, do they just counter offer, you know, higher just because I'm countering so low? You know what I mean? If I come up a little bit, will they come down a little bit?
It's very random, you know. I wish I knew an exact science about, you know, if you counter higher, are they going to counter lower? You know, if you counter lower, are they going to stick closer to list? I wish I knew an exact science about it, but I don't. And the reason I say that is I've seen it all over the place.
Gotcha. So just bid low all the time and then adjust the bid.
Just keep doing your thing. That's what we do.
Do you ever just go in and change? So, like, I'll go and I'll bid in the morning about the same time the counteroffers are coming in.
Uh-huh.
And then when I see a counteroffer that I like, I'll just go back and change the bid that I just put in that morning before, you know,
that's
midnight.
That's important to update your sheet in the afternoon when you get the counters, when they start coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we look at it twice a day, first thing in the morning and then in the afternoon when the counters come in.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
Yeah. Twice a day. Yeah.
And then one other question for you real quick.
Sure.
Last week, I got a flood of emails from the asset manager with the counter bids too. So it was different. You know how the ones from HUD come in?
Uh-huh.
But this one was actually from Sage. And it was like, they just suddenly like the burst of them. I mean, there was like 100 that just suddenly came in. There were multiple ones. And so I had to call the agent and say, hey, just beware. And it was copied. The broker and the title company were all copied on all the emails.
Huh.
It was crazy.
Yeah, that does happen sometimes.
Does that? Okay. But, yeah, other than that, just looking for other houses besides HUD.
Yeah. Are you, you stayed away from that, that auction, right? That, what did they call it? Not the deep discounted, but the best or whatever it is.
The pricing, it was not discretionary pricing. It was
indicative.
Indicative, that's right. Indicative price. Until I get to know the Georgia market, then I'll jump in on that stuff. I'm going
to
hold off
like
on that.
It's always good to talk to an agent first and get the real scoop on the house, an agent that's seen the house.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of those auction houses you can't get in to see. That's the biggest hurdle to get over.
Yeah. Yeah, I would get a little more familiar with it, or at least talk to an agent before you did anything with that.
Okay, perfect. Well, that's about all I got for right now.
Good, man.
I'll have some more for
you
next week.
Okay.
I will, definitely.
Are you using your website?
Yeah, I've looked at it. But I haven't tweaked it yet.
You've looked at it. Good job.
So what do you do with that website?
What is it for?
Well,
you can build your buyer's list. You can put your properties on it. You generate leads. It's really SEO weighted. It really is.
Does it come all optimized?
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
All you need to do is customize it for your local market. You know, we found that a site that it promotes a specific market and area is going to generate a lot more traffic. Like, you know, sell your house, Charlotte, North Carolina. And then you have your website laden with Charlotte, North Carolina. If you live in Charlotte area, you know, surrounding Charlotte, then you're going to start getting a lot of leads because all the other keywords are already there.
So who optimizes it?
They're already like that. There's been a lot of split testing done.
Yeah, but you have to keep doing it.
Well, what you do is, it is, you know, it's set up to help you with your SEO, but there's a lot of content on the site already, and plus you can add content to it. You know, you can add articles. You know, you can even add video. It's really simple to add video. You just put the link to the video on the page, and boom, it pops up.
Awesome.
You can add content. You can add video. You can add all kind of stuff to it to keep it optimized.
Yeah, that can be time-consuming.
Well, yeah, you could also hire a $2 an hour VA to write articles for you.
Yeah, we need to discuss that. Well, yeah, that would be awesome. Well, I'll be there in July.
That sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
That's awesome. Dave can tell you about it. He was just here a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Good.
So that's done all in 5 days. I don't think we have enough time. Really, seriously.
Well, listen, it's not over in 5 days. That's just the beginning. That's just to jump start you.
Oh, we can't start. My sister's coming with me.
Oh, okay.
But we're really into it. Yesterday we spent all day and today all day, and she's coming over here again tomorrow.
Well,
we're really into this.
That's
now.
Good. Now we just got to get you being productive with it.
Yeah.
There you go.
She's dreaming of it.
There you go. That's
Wakes
good.
Up dreaming. Anyway.
That's good.
Yeah, this is really fun. I can't get enough of it.
Awesome. That sounds good. Well, let me know if you need anything.
Okay.
Cool.
Oh, good. Sounds good.
Good. So anybody else have a question?
I guess not, huh?
I don't know. Sometimes people take their time.
Where do you find the time to do all of this?
I have people.
Oh, that's true. You get
that's
a whole army.
Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm right in the thick of things, you know, but I walk through, hey, what's going on with this? What's going on with that? Do we need to meet about this? What are we doing about this closing?
What about this buyer?
You know, I mean, I'm right in the thick of it, but I do have people in the office.
Yeah, you've got an army all over the place.
I wouldn't say it's an army, no, I wouldn't say. I got a couple of days, and then I have a couple of people in the office, and that's it.
Wow.
That's it. You'll see when you come here.
Yeah, I'm anxious.
You'll see. Yep.
Yep.
Good.
Oh, we've got it mapped out. We're going to be driving down. We're going to take a scenic route.
Well, good. That's good.
Yeah. Anyway. So this is going to be a short call, right?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Anybody else have a question?
Hey, Larry.
Hey.
I don't mean to take up all the time.
It's okay, man. But nobody asks questions. That's what I'm
I know. If they don't ask, they don't find out.
Yeah,
just quick.
See, what usually happens is nobody's asking questions. Then one person will ask, and then another one say, oh, yeah, along that line, tell me what about this? And then it'll just, spark from there. So, yeah, go ahead, whatever it is.
So when somebody opts in on one of my website, where does it go? Where does
just
email me the
lead? You want to log in to get your lead? Now, you can set it up with Podio, so it forwards automatically to Podio.
Yeah.
You can also set it up to where it'll email you. But the lead goes right into the system, and then you follow up with it from there.
Gotcha. Okay. I just haven't had time to really explore the website. I've been working on the HUD stuff. Last week I had to do that transition, like you say. I came in Monday morning, found out it was all broken. My VA called me and says, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, so you had to redo it, didn't you?
Yeah, I spent a couple of days redoing everything.
It must be that way all over because it happened to us in North Carolina and South Carolina also. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Are you using that spreadsheet that Larry has there?
Dave's doing his own. He's he's a programmer, so he's, he's way beyond me.
I'm a programmer also. What kind of programmer are you? Mainframe, PC?
I did embedded programming.
Microsoft?
No, just C and assembly languages.
Oh,
what I did
you
mostly.
Do VB?
A little bit of,
you do
I'm
VB?
Sorry?
Do you do VB?
No.
No?
No, I don't do VB, no.
Which one did you say you do? CC?
C. Just C.
C++?
Mm-hmm.
No plus?
No, not C. No.
Oh.
It's an old language, C.
That's true.
But before C++ was C, but anyways.
So it's COBOL. I used to do COBOL, VB, SQL, all that stuff.
Wow, you should be creating your own.
No, I don't think I will. Too time consuming.
I hear you.
I gotta put in some bids. Yeah.
There you go.
You know?
Well,
I thought of doing
when
that.
Your sister comes over.
Excuse me.
Put in some bids tomorrow when your sister gets there.
Well, I'm not sure.
Reach out to me if you need any help with it.
Well, I was thinking, if we put some bids and we get accepted, what do I do? I said, call Larry.
That's right. You just let me know. I'll walk you right through it.
Okay.
I'll
give it a
shot.
I'll
walk from bookcase to bank account.
Oh, wow. I'm seeing the money coming in. And then it's going to go out.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I better check and see. Does anybody have any more questions?
No, I don't.
Anybody?
Hey, Larry, it's Meg. I'm not
hey,
here
Meg.
With a question. I wanted to say hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
I've actually sold all my inventory. I'm trying to figure out what to do next.
There you go.
You've got inventory?
I used
Meg
to.
Has a note for sale, right, Meg?
I do have a note for sale.
Tell us about your note.
Well, it's from my first deal, actually.
So it's a seasons note.
It is a seasons note.
Yeah,
so
tell us about it.
I bought this mobile home, I guess, last April.
Uh-huh.
And during the time when it was before I closed, I found a buyer. So my buyer bought it from me the day after I bought it. Which was
good
awesome.
Good for you.
This is South Carolina, right?
This was in North Carolina.
Oh,
in
North
a small
Carolina.
Town.
Who did your closing?
In Charlotte, I would say. So it was a pretty good deal. I agreed to helped pay for the air conditioner that the thing needed because they were buying it when the weather was hot. But he put $8,000 down, and I've got a, you know, starting with a $42,000 note, and he's been paying it on time ever since, and it's set up with servicing. So
who's servicing it for you?
Billy from whatever that is, Carolina.
Oh,
mortgage.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So he was my RMLO, and now he's my loan servicer. And so we've got taxes and insurance being escrowed.
Good. And what are you selling the note for?
Just the way you said it was going to go.
There you go. It works, huh?
Yeah, it works.
So,
but I'd just like to
sell
the note.
What are you selling the note for?
I was trying to get the note sold between 12 and 15% yield to the buyer.
Right.
And so far I've just been talking to institutional people, and they want to pay a lot less than that. So, they're asking for like almost a 20% yield. That's not very exciting.
I can tell you how you can get them down to that lower yield is by selling them a partial. The problem is they only want, like, you know, even if you just sold 5 years worth and then in 5 years sold them another 5 years and then in 5 years sold them another 5 years and then in 5 years sold them the last 5 years, you're going to get a lot more money than trying to sell a 20-year note or 50.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years it is, but, you know, by selling a partial, you're only selling, you know, 5 or 10 years worth of payments, and you can get a lot more for it.
So I actually had a pretty interesting offer from one of these companies. He wanted to buy 5 years, and then he said a year from now he would buy another 5 years.
Huh.
And the reason he was saying that was because he didn't want to use my servicer. He wanted to get it into his own thing.
Uh-huh.
And then it would be, you know, then it would be their deal. And once it's their deal, they feel better about it.
Right, okay.
And with the extra year of seasoning. I thought that was interesting.
Have you tried Boston Note?
I have not.
Yeah, try Boston Note. They're in that directory I emailed you.
Okay.
Yeah, try them. They're going to want to buy a partial too, but about all the institutions are going to want to buy a partial.
I'm actually okay with that. In this case, you know, I think the young man who bought the house kept telling me that he was going to pay it off faster.
Right.
So after he's about a year into it. He's probably finished renovating the house by now.
That's good.
So maybe he'll start paying the lockdown.
So your collateral is even better secure now.
Yeah, and it's funny because the Zillow estimate has, in the meantime, also jumped $10,000. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that
can't
hurt.
It's a deal.
Yeah, that can't hurt. That's good.
So you've been doing that for a year?
Yeah, I went through the 5-day thing in March last year.
And you've been doing really good with this? I mean,
so far, I've bought and sold 5 homes.
Wow, that's good. Congratulations. I've heard of some people doing nothing with this. I met someone who's doing nothing. She went to that 5-day event, and I said, wow.
Well, I don't believe in doing nothing.
Huh?
I don't believe in doing nothing.
No, me neither. I mean, you spend all that money and you do nothing? Come on.
Yeah.
No, give it a try.
I need to get you on more of my calls and motivate people. You spend all this money and come on, you're doing nothing?
That's what I said to this lady. I said, and she was saying all kinds of excuses. I said, excuse me. I said, these are all excuses. You've got to do something. And I said a lot. She just walked away.
I bet she did.
Myself, yeah, she did. And I said to myself, fine.
You
deserve
this.
Everything
like,
I said.
It's like sometimes people will email me and say, I haven't got a deal yet. my first response is, well, how many offers have you made? Because if you make zero offers, you got zero chance of buying something.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
I just hope I don't turn out to be like that.
You're not. I can tell already. See,
yeah.
I can teach you real estate, okay? But what I can't teach is motivation and perseverance. Mm. And it sounds to me like you already got that. You got the biggest step out of the way.
Well, right now, but who knows what can happen. But
that's okay.
Right now,
listen, we have a system in place for that. I actually have something, and I haven't really announced this yet, but I'm going to tell you guys on this call, okay?
What?
I have a good friend of mine that I met 14 years ago at a RIA meeting, and he came to the RIA meeting because he wanted to be an investor, and I happened to be the speaker that night.
Mm-hmm.
And then he and I became good friends. He actually became a student. He's working with me. But this guy is a business consultant. He consults with people, and I don't even want to use the word motivation because I don't like that word. But, you know, because, you got to get motivated. But he actually does help people to get past their limiting beliefs and keep them on track. And it's funny, I interviewed him. I used to have this show called Brain Pick a Pro Show, and I interviewed him 13, 14 years ago. It was in 2003 or 2004. And I just met him then. And we had since become really good friends. And he's consulted me. And even back then, my goal was to be a national speaker and teach and train people all over the country, all over the world. And he helped push our organization. And he really did help us grow. And anyway, so I have recently hired him to be a part of my inner circle. And starting in June, there's going to be two additional calls you can get on per month to go over with what he's going to do is help people stay on track, help them stay motivated, and help them stay on track and hold them accountable.
Good. Good.
So I'm
That's
fired up about that.
Need
so
a lot
all
of time.
All of our existing inner circle students are going to get the call-in information, and they'll be able to email him anytime, and he's going to help keep people on track. So now we've got all the bases covered, real estate and the keeping people on track and holding them accountable and the motivation part.
Good. Good. Because eventually sometimes, you know, you can get depressed. I can't find anything. I can't
do this. Well, that's true.
This.
See, what
and
happens when
negative.
You first get into real estate, you have all this enthusiasm, but you have no knowledge. And after about 3 to 6 months, you have all this knowledge, but the enthusiasm's gone, you know?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's exactly right. So he's going to help with that.
Oh,
and
that's a
really
great idea.
He's really good at it. In fact, I had a 3-day seminar this past weekend, and I had him come by and speak at it for about 30 minutes. So, just to get people motivated on Sunday morning. Anyway, I was just wanting to share that with you guys. But it's just an added benefit that I'm paying him. I'm actually paying him a lot of money.
I'm sure you are.
I'm paying him 5 figures a year. And I'm not talking about $10,000 either, but anyway, I'm paying him
that's
a lot of money just to get on the phone twice a week. So, but I know the value of it, and I told him when I hired him, I said, your goal is to increase my number of testimonials from what they already are. So his goal is to make sure that people actually go out there and do something, and they don't, like you said, that lady that you talked to hadn't done anything yet. His goal is to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's gonna start in June. So we'll get all the call in information and all that lined up.
Oh, great.
Awesome.
I do have a question.
Sure.
I just don't want to forget. Sorry for cutting in. LLC. I need to get that before the inner circle training.
Uh-huh.
Now, question is, I was going to open one for in Arizona, even
uh-huh.
though I'm in Connecticut.
Right.
Because that sounds better than the Connecticut one. However, if it, I guess it doesn't really matter. In a way, it does for taxes.
Uh-huh.
But let's say if I open one, I was looking online, they say it's better open it in your state. But the thing is, I'm thinking, well, my question really is, if you open it in your state,
uh-huh.
and then you purchase a house out of state, the tax-wise, won't I have to pay taxes to out-of-state one? Also, or need another LLC for out-of-state purchase?
Well, it's a very complicated topic, and there's many, many different ways you can do it. You can have a management company. You can have LLCs under that. You can have series LLCs. You need an LLC for flipping and an LLC for holding. And you can do one out-of-state, but if you do one out of state and then you buy a property in your state or vice versa, you're going to pay taxes in two different states. There's just many ways to do that. I have another inner circle benefit that is it's for our inner circle students. And I have a company that we work with that does nothing but LLCs, and they do corporate taxes, and they do corporate lines of credit as well. So do you want me to have them reach out to you?
Oh. Well, I have a corporation.
You have a corporation?
A C-Corp.
Yeah, and that's fine. They could even take a look at it and see what you have and see if you need any changes. They'll give you a consultation about it. What's the best number you want me to have them reach you at?
This one?
I don't know
what
this one
is. One? I know. Okay. 860?
860.
Right. 519?
519.
2189.
Correct. Okay. And what's your full name?
Anita, A-N-I-T-A.
Uh-huh.
Sheffield, S-H-E-F-F, as in Frank, I-E-L-D, as in David.
Okay, good. All right, I will have them call you, okay?
Okay,
I'll
that'd
have
be
them
great.
Reach out to you, and they'll let you know that I told you to call, okay?
Okay, all right.
That sounds good. That sounds good. And if anybody else wants the same, just shoot me an email, Larry@LarryGoins, put inner circle in the subject line. If you want to have them check over your entity structuring, you know, I'll be glad to have them do that. Some of you on here already have worked with them and have even already got your stuff set up. So, okay, I hope that helps, Anita.
Yeah, definitely.
Good. Sounds good.
Great.
Well, let's see if anybody else has a question. Anybody else have a question? No more questions. Going once.
We're bidding.
Going twice. No more questions. Well, at least we were on here until 9:42.
Well, you can get some rest.
I know. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. And just know that if you have any questions in between now and next call, either shoot me an email and put inner circle on the subject line or call my office, 803-831-2857, that rings on my office and on my cell phone, okay?
What is it again? I'm sorry.
803.
Yeah.
831.
831 is what I needed. Okay.
2857.
Right. Okay.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, thanks a lot, everybody.
All
I appreciate it. And Anita, I'll have them give you a call, okay?
Okay. Appreciate that.
All right. Sounds good. You guys have a good night.
Okay. All right, you too.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Larry.
Bye-bye.